Chiefs and Colts, divisional round of the NFL playoffs on Saturday. We know the Chiefs have struggled with home playoff victories. It's been quite a while. It is time for this to happen. To me, no better team than it to happen against than the Indianapolis Colts,
who have as many postseason victories at Arrowhead Stadium as the Chiefs
do. Yeah, time for that to end, right?
It is definitely time for
that. New era, new team, new quarterback. It is time to start a new kind of playoff era here in Kansas City and exercise some demons as well.
That's what we're doing all week long. And we started off with former Chiefs kicker Lynn Elliott here on 610 Sports Radio. Lynn, we appreciate you joining us here on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. And our producer's been trying to get you on for the last 5 years or so. Why do you think now is like, all right, let's do this. Let's get this over with. Let's come on and let's exercise all these demons.
You know, honestly, this is the first time that they have actually gotten in contact with me that I recall. I know I've done other radio shows in the past, but I wouldn't say I'm excited to rehash, you know, the game. But at the same time, it is nice to talk to people in Kansas City.
Well, I think people look at the playoff failures and they look at that game that obviously you had back in the early 90s and the missed field goals in that game, and everybody wants to pin it on you. And clearly that wasn't the only reason why the Chiefs have had playoff failures over the years. But what was it like for you after that game, Lynn? Take us inside your mind, your body, everything that went on with you after that football game.
Well, you saw a little bit of a little snippet of it with the Chicago game the other day. You know, as a kicker, your job is to execute. Your job is to do what you're supposed to do. And when that doesn't happen, and your team ends up losing, I mean, it's a burden. I mean, it's devastating because, you know, those guys fight for 60 minutes, you know, I mean, you know, tooth and nail, blood and sweat. And then at the end of the game, you have a chance to do something and you don't execute. And, you know, you do try your best. I think the fans sometimes think that maybe you went out there and you just didn't try, but you gave it your best shot and it didn't work out. But the problem is there's no tomorrow, and that's playoff football. You know, when the Chiefs play on Saturday, I mean, when that game's over, if you don't have a higher score than the other team, you're done. Your season's over. I mean, you can get out your fishing pole.
How many times have you gone over that game? Do you go over that game? Does it still bother you, haunt you, trying to figure out why you were so accurate for so long that you had kind of a bad game at the wrong time?
I would say that it's kind of like anything. You know, when the wounds are fresh, they sting, they hurt a little bit more. Obviously, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years after it, you know, I would still walk around and kind of have a gut feeling of, dang, you know, I mean, I had a chance to do something special and I blew it. You know, that type of mentality, because I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you can do something that makes a huge difference and you know, per se drop the ball or miss the kick. But, you know, that's obviously what happened. So that stings because I knew I had the capability to execute. There were tough conditions, but at the same time, you know, the opportunity was there, and I had a great shot to do it, and I didn't. Now that time's gone by, there are other things in my life that are way more important than that kick. But at that day and the years after it, that kick was pretty important and did weigh on me quite a bit.
You know, Lynn, as we talked to Lynn Elliott here on 610 Sports Radio, it's good to hear that, because that's kind of like, you know, how fans are. I mean, here we are 25 years later and fans are still talking about that. And a lot of times in sports, guys, you know, miss a kick or drop a pass, they move on and whatever it is. But the fact that it ate at you for that long afterwards, I think says something about who you are as a person and something about your character, that you really took it to heart for almost a decade afterwards. It was still bothering you.
Well, again, I just go back to, I mean, everything I do, I try to be the best that I can be, and I try to execute, and I'll be accountable, reliable, dependable. You know, I call them all the Ubbles. You know, I mean, that's kind of who you want to be. But in that situation, you basically failed in all of that, you know, all of those categories that matter. But I failed trying my best, and that's something that I can live with. I have actually no problem, you know, coming on the line and talking with you guys about it. You know, it is history. It's something that's still on the minds of people. Obviously, I would like for them to put it to sleep and, you know, and let it go away. And maybe a victory over the Colts and a Super Bowl in Kansas City can do that.
You know, you missed 9 kicks in the last 5 games of that year. How much of it started to weigh on you mentally when you started to go into that tailspin? Because you're still, I think, the most accurate kicker in Chiefs history. But towards the end of the season, things kind of started to get away from you. How much of it was a mental thing in that playoff game?
Kicking is mental. I mean, physically, you obviously have what it takes to get the job done. But for an example, leading up to the kicks in those games, there was zero nervousness in my body. Now, there was adrenaline, but that adrenaline is something you live for. I mean, you live to feel alive. And when you're going out on the field to try to execute a game time or a game camp, a kick that makes a difference, that adrenaline's amazing. The problem is once the kick is over, and you failed, then all of a sudden, now all of a sudden, the pressure comes down on your shoulder because you don't know if you're going to get another kick. In this case, I did get one more. But at the end of the day, kicks take a toll on you after you miss them. But as you approach the kick, you're focused on what you're doing. I don't think Tiger Woods, you know, I'm not describing myself as Tiger Woods, but I don't think he thinks, you know, he's going to miss the green from, you know, 140 yards out. And I don't think I'm going to miss a kick, but there are times where you do. And, you know, once you miss a 3-foot putt, the next 3-foot putt's tougher.
You know, it's a good analogy, I think, because we've all been out there on the golf course where you can't hit that, you know, that 3-foot putt. But if I'm not mistaken, that was your last game in the NFL. You had some preseason with Minnesota the following year, but that was it for you, right?
That was it. In Minnesota, I got beat out. I had a little bit of an injury, but I did get beat out fair and square. The next year, I had some opportunities in Tampa. I pulled a thigh muscle, and at that point, it was, you know, for me, I was engaged, about to get married, and I needed to figure out what I needed to do, and what I needed to do was get a real job, so that's what I did.
Yeah, how much does it suck, though, that that's the way it ended for you? Like, your lasting memory of playing in the NFL is Arrowhead and missing a kick that could have sent you guys to the next round.
I mean, you know, you're describing, you're framing that up as it really sucks. Well, it does stink to end on a bad note.
Yeah.
On the other side, I have some Super Bowl records and I have a Super Bowl ring, so I had some wonderful, wonderful moments as well. And I would say that the highs were so much appreciated at this point, and the lows, they really let you know that, I mean, you know, life's emotional, but you can bounce back from it. Maybe I didn't bounce back in the NFL, but from that point on, I mean, every day I get up and go to work. I mean, I enjoy what I'm doing. I love my family. I mean, I love God. I love a lot of things. And so, you know, not being in the NFL stinks, I guess you would say,
yeah.
You know, or the way that it ended. But the other doors that opened for me have been amazing.
I want to play a comment that Mark Collins gave me on my podcast about that game and about you. And I want to get your reaction to it. So here's what Mark Collins said about that game.
Everybody wants to blame that loss on Lynn Elliott missing 3 field goals.
Sure.
I don't think so. We led the National Football League in rushing that year, I think, running the ball. And the Colts were the last team against the rush. And that whole game, we're throwing the ball, and they're dropping 8 people. There's nowhere to throw.
Mm-hmm.
You have a team like that. You have a thoroughbred team like that, and you run us into the ground the whole practice with 3.5-hour practices. And then by the time we get to the game, you change the whole game plan, and then we lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I never blame Lynn Elliott for those missed kicks. I blame Marty Schottenheimer for doing it.
So there's Mark Collins saying, it ain't Lynn's fault, it's all Marty's fault. Does it feel good to hear one of your former teammates saying, stop with the Lynn Elliott blame?
Well, yes. I mean, I wouldn't say I would say that Mark Collins is obviously he was an all-pro, you know, defensive back player. He's a very intelligent person. And you're going to find out Saturday when you play that you're going to have a good game plan, and you're going to have to execute that game plan. And, you know, the game plan that the Chiefs had against the Colts back in 96, we didn't execute that game plan very well. The field goal kicker, which is myself, didn't execute his game plan very well. But you do win as a team and you lose as a team. And, yes, you can pin it on me, but let's say I make the last kick. Okay, we're not having this conversation, but the score's still tied. It's still 10-10. So let's say you win that game. Well, you still get to go deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers the next week. Let's say you win that game. You still get to go deal with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, after that. So the Chiefs, you know, when you get to the playoffs, you have a chance to win each game, but you have to have a great game plan, and then your players have to execute.
You heard from Mark Collins. This is obviously him speaking real recently, right? So this is a long time remove. How did your teammates react in the moment?
I think there was a state of shock. I can tell you this for sure. I was in a state of shock. And the reason you're in a state of shock is there's nothing you can do. I mean, the reality sets in. You go down the tunnel. You go into the locker room. When I say the word devastating, I don't mean devastating in the sense of life or death. I just mean, you know, it's very devastating emotionally, you know, for your season to be over and to end that way. I know that there are a lot of guys, Greg Minuski, who's obviously a fine coach in the league, you know, his locker was next to me. Lake Dawson's locker was right next to me. Danon Hughes, a top end person. And a lot of those people came in and patted you, you know, on the head and told you, you know, don't worry about it. But I am going to worry about it because, you know, I was the one that had the chance at the end of the game to make a difference, and I didn't do it. On the other side of it, there were people that I'm sure didn't say a word to me, that don't ever want to talk to me again. I'm not pointing fingers, not saying names. I actually don't exactly recall. But you know, one of them, that really was really frustrated, that didn't ever want to talk to me again, was Coach Schottenheimer. And, you know, I thought that was kind of weird that the head coach of the team, when it was all said and done, I understand I failed, but I don't understand why he couldn't take some type of a stand and say, hey, you know, we win as a team, lose as a team.
Well, and especially changing the game plan up, you know, like Mark Collins talked about there. You go in thinking you're going to run the ball all week, and then you don't. I mean, you know, Marty has more blame in all of this than people want to, you know, blame him for. And I think Marty became kind of this beloved figure, but his playoff success was very minimal, very minimal. He always turtled in the postseason too.
Well, I'm not here to blame anybody, and I don't want anybody to blame me, but coaches, when they get into the postseason, they actually do have to come up with a game plan and execute that game plan. When you look at what the Colts what was done by the Chargers to the Ravens. I mean, they ended up playing three safeties at linebackers to control, you know, Lamar Jackson. So you have to make adjustments like that. And the great coaches do that. And Marty is a great coach, but he never did have a great record in the playoffs. And on the other side of it, I didn't have a great record, you know, kicking in the playoffs.
Have you been back to Kansas City, Lynn, since that kick?
Oh yeah, yeah. No. One of my great friends, there, his name is Dave Boyce. He's a home builder. We'll go visit him. But I haven't been to Kansas City probably in 15 or 20 years. But I was in Kansas just the other day, pheasant hunting and quail hunting. So I mean, you know, I don't get to Kansas City a ton, but I do visit the great state of Kansas.
Where do you go hunting?
We went in Delphos, Kansas.
Where's that?
Where is it? That's a good question.
Thank you.
You know, I know this. You get through Oklahoma City, and you basically stay on I-35, and probably about an hour north of Wichita.
Okay. Did you get anything good?
Bob, you're not supposed to reveal your good hunting spots.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We got into some quail. Double K Outfitters is the outfitter that I went with, and they do a good job of putting you on birds and deer, and we had a great hunt.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's pretty cool that you can still kind of, you know, come up here and like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to Kansas City per se, but I'll wade into Kansas a little bit. Hey, you and Mahomes both went to Texas Tech. What do you think of this kid, man? What did you think of him when you were watching him play at your alma mater, and now watching him play here?
Well, Mahomes is special, and obviously you can see that. Andy Reid is a brilliant offensive-minded coach, and it didn't take him long to notice what Mahomes has. When you look at 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, I mean, that's something that I saw him do at Tech every year. Obviously, you don't have 16 games, but it was 4,000 yards and 45 touchdowns. So Patrick is capable. He's a very intelligent kid. He's an incredible competitor. There is no moment that's too big for him. However, you know, when you get into the playoffs, I mean, don't think that the Colts aren't going to have a game plan. And I'm pretty sure their defensive game plan is going to be to figure out a way to take the vertical passing game away from the Chiefs and force them to kind of dink and dive. And the question is, you know, will Patrick stay composed or will he get frustrated? I have a feeling Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Andy Reid will figure out a way to win the game.
And will you pop champagne because it will all be finally over? The Chiefs got that elusive playoff win at Arrowhead.
Well, I do. They do need to exercise a demon. That's a fact. They need to win that game. And the Chiefs are capable of absolutely winning this game. They should win the game, but it's not going to be easy.
Lynn, thanks a bunch for the time, and thanks for revisiting. I know tough moments in your professional career, and we're glad to hear that, you know, it hasn't bogged you down in other ways as well, that, hey, we got to remember at the end of the day, it's just a game.
You bet. You guys have a good one.
And the other thing, too, luckily you weren't playing in the social media era.
Oh, my goodness.
Could you imagine
this,
how that would have been then?
Oh, man. Yeah, no, you're right about that. Even today, I don't play in social media. So I let my wife tinker around in that, you know, and my kids do what they do. But, you know, and there's no reason why I don't do it. It's just I really don't have time in my day to mess with that stuff. But, yeah, you're right. You're right. Good thing. But, you know, on the other side of it, you know, social media can help people. And, you know, there's lots of conversation that could come out of it. I feel like the conversation that came out of that game was just one way. And, you know, there were some fingers pointed, but, you know, they were deserved. So I have to deal with it.
Lynn Elliott, thanks for the time today.
Okay. Have a good one, guys.
You too.
Lynn Elliott, former Chiefs kicker, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio.
Good perspective.
Yeah.
How about Marty being a jerk to him? Like, bro, you scored 7 points, and you're not talking to your kicker? I understand he missed 3 kicks, but you scored 7
points.
That was
a bad day all around.
Tell him to check that spam email, too.
Yeah.
That's very true.
I've been trying for 5 years, and I just find out he never saw it.
No, I never got contact before.
That
really?
Was the first time.
Ryan's been pestering
about years ago.
He must have blocked your address for a while.
Like, such a dope now.
No, never heard from anybody.
It was the first time I heard from him.
He was oddly willing to just do it at the drop of a hat, too.
Yeah, well, I think it's also time, too. And
it is.
Chiefs facing the Colts and still not having that home playoff, all those things that go into that. I think kind of the perfect time to check in with him and find out, hey, it's just a game, too. Just a game.
Yeah.
Your reaction. Some of you were mad at us for even booking the interview.
I'd like to know what people think about it. I do.
Yeah, and we want to hear your reaction to Lynn Elliott and his remembrances of that day, how he's handled it since, and maybe some perspective on how you handled it back in the day and now. I criticized the guy for a long time, too.
But I forgive you, Lynn.
I mean, the fact that it bothered him for like 5 years, he said, afterwards. That's
good and bad. It's good because you want players to care as much as you do.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But then it's bad. It's like, hey, man, it's also not healthy to let that stuff linger for a long, long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your reactions to Lynn Elliott. We'll do that next. You're on 610 Sports Radio.
Exercise the demons. This house is clear.
Fesco in the morning.